Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now back in making his fifth appearance with us on Thursday Night Tailgate is Jonathan Wells. Let me remind you about Jonathan's background. He's from River Ridge, Louisiana, played his college ball at Ohio State, where he rushed for over 2,300 yards and 26 touchdowns, including a great senior season when he rushed for nearly 1,300 yards. He still ranks in the top 20 all-time rushing list at Ohio State. He was named team MVP in 2001. He was a fourth-round draft pick in 2002 by the Houston Texans, and he played in the NFL from 2002 to 2006, all for the Texans. He totaled just over 1,100 yards rushing, 323 yards receiving, and he scored 12 touchdowns. Jonathan first joined us all the way back in September of 2013, so he's been a good friend of the show for a very long time, and we're excited that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Jonathan, Chris, and Bob, Happy New Year. How are you?
Hey, you too.
I'm doing great. How you guys doing, man? Happy New Year to you guys.
Thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan, for our listeners who don't know your story, you grew up around the city of New Orleans, around a lot of violence as a kid. You dealt with the loss of your brother. Talk about how you were able to rise above your circumstances and achieve all the things that you have.
Man, football fell into my lap at the age of 7, man, and it was really a blessing for me. That was the same year that my brother committed suicide in my home. So, you know, when I found football, it was something that I really needed to take the pressure off of me and give me something to do to release a lot of negative energy that was going on around me. So I thank God for the sport of football and having an opportunity to go and play at a high school like John Curtis Christian School down in River Ridge. Really changed the course of my life and allowed me to get in a scholarship to a school like Ohio State and, you know, kind of went from there. But, you know, just hard work, dedication, man, and just having great parents, you know, to really just keep me away from all that negative stuff, even though it was right outside of my gate. I just fell in love with sports and I never wavered from that. So, you know, I never wanted to sell drugs. I never tried to sell drugs. It just wasn't my thing. So I would just really, you know, focus on sports and, you know, just being a good kid, man, and making it out of my neighborhood and trying to help my family.
So, Jonathan, how does a kid from New Orleans end up playing his college ball at LSU or somewhere in the SEC and instead going to play at Ohio State?
Well, you guys got to remember now, this is the mid-90s. You know, at the end of the day, the SEC wasn't what we're seeing today. LSU was a very average team. Alabama was nowhere to be found, so they weren't even on the list of me going to their school. And, you know, so at the time, Ohio State was, you know, regularly in the top five in the 90s, you know, top two, top three, top five, you know, all the time. So, you know, and really, you know, my main influence in high school was Eddie George. You know, when I actually got to see him play, that kind of made my decision. I just knew that was a school that I wanted to attend. They liked big tailbacks, and I was 225 pounds coming out of high school. So it just made perfect sense for me. It was a perfect marriage.
Bob, questions for Jonathan?
Great to speak with you again, Jonathan. And but more about Ohio State. You know, while you were there, the majority of it, Jonathan, was played under John Cooper. And a lot of people, we think about Ohio State, we think of Woody Hayes and the Tressels and all the other great coaches that have come through. Cooper's name doesn't come up as much, but that was a guy that was 100 games over 500, more than that in his career, coached an awful long time. Want to have your memories of John Cooper?
Listen, John Cooper's a Hall of Fame college coach. I mean, take no doubt about it. I mean, a lot of people want to get on John Cooper for his record against, you know, that team up north. But at the end of the day, I tell people all the time, you players got to make plays. You know, John Cooper, we're calling the same plays we've been calling for all these other games when a lot of times we went into that game undefeated or with one loss. And then all of a sudden, guys go into that game and they can't make plays. So you can't blame John Cooper for that. You got to go out there and continue to do what you've been doing all season. And that's what we were proud of. We were able to continue to do that. So I have a lot of love for John Cooper. John Cooper was the first coach at Ohio State to actually start recruiting outside of Ohio. He's the one that started going to get guys from Florida, Louisiana, Texas. You know, he's the David Boston. So John Cooper, in my mind, is a phenomenal coach. Now, listen, he had a different style. He wasn't what you may want to per se as a player's coach. He really didn't communicate with us like that. He was more of an NFL-style coach, but he had great assistant coaches around him, and that's why the program was always in the top five, top ten in the country. So John Cooper's an excellent coach, and make no mistake about it.
And take me back to your rookie year in Houston, Jonathan. That was the team, Dom Capers, who amazingly was still coaching this past season, known as a defensive guy, but you did play under Chris Palmer, who had roots up here in Connecticut at the University of New Haven. But take me back to that first training camp and what you remember most about that coaching staff.
You know, man, it was just a very exciting time. You know, we were a new franchise. We had never played a game in the franchise in history. So to get drafted to a brand new expansion team, the coaching staff, you know, in the supplemental draft that they were able to have, they went out and really, really addressed the defensive side of the ball. You know, I got an opportunity to play with some defensive greats, Jamie Sharper, Jay Foreman, Aaron Glenn, Gary Walker, Seth Payne, Kylie Wong. You know, so I got a chance to really play with a lot of veterans, but they were all on the defensive side. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, we drafted some really good players, David Carr, Jabbar Gaffney, Chester Pitts. But we got to realize we started seven guys that were rookies on offense alone. So, you know, it was a rough season, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, as far as the experience of playing, we were very competitive that year. I think we won five games, could have easily won seven or eight games that year. The highlight of my career in the NFL really is beating the Dallas Cowboys in our first inaugural game on ESPN Sunday night. You know, to come out, nobody gave us a shot in hell, but to go out there and beat the Dallas Cowboys, you know, in front in our brand new stadium, the energy in the crowd was incredible. I mean, you know, that was a memory that I'll never forget. But Houston overall was a great time, man. You know, and it's a great city. Bob McNair, you know, he had a great outfit down there. You know, great facilities. Top of the line, first class, everything. So I had an amazing experience down in Houston.
So, Jonathan, curious to get your thoughts on the national championship game that we saw Monday night. What did you think about the game between Georgia and Alabama?
I thought it was an epic game. Georgia just didn't put Alabama away when they had a chance. That game should have never been that close in the second and third quarter. And how about just the gore of Nick Saban to actually pull his quarterback at halftime and go with a guy who's had absolutely no reps in the second half. When he did that, I was like, he's got to be crazy. But then when I see the kid come out there, I'm like, Nick Saban knows a little bit more than I do about this guy. This guy's got some real moxie out there. And it ended up being one of the greatest substitutions that you'll ever see in the history of this game. So the game was phenomenal, man. Like I said, on that last play, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, they shouldn't have been in cover two. They should have been in cover three. I'm like, whatever. The problem is the cornerback took the play off. He let the receiver run untouched in a straight line to the freaking end zone when you gotta put your hands on that guy and reroute him and give your safety time to get over there, and that play doesn't happen. So, you know, unfortunately for Georgia, they just weren't able to get it done. But, man, that just goes to show you how great the University of Alabama is, how great Nick Saban is, and they just have a moxie down there, and they just feel like they're going to win every game, and most of the time they do.
And, Jonathan, understanding that my boys at UCF are the true national champions since we beat the team to beat the teams.
Here we go with this.
Since your boys at Ohio State, some folks thought should be in instead of Alabama because you won your conference and they didn't.
I never co-signed that.
No?
No, not at all. We did not deserve to be in the playoffs this year. Listen, when you lose by 31 points to an unranked Iowa team, you're not going to jump Alabama. Let's just be clear. This is Alabama we're talking about. Now, if it was TCU or somebody else, yeah, they probably would have gave us the nod. But listen, you're not going to be a two-loss team and jump a one-loss Alabama team. Whoever thought that was going to happen, good luck with that one. That's never going to happen. So I was actually happy with the matchup we got. We hadn't beat USC in a long, long time. I wanted to get my hands on them, and my boys went out there and took care of business. So I was very happy with the Cotton Bowl Challenge and what the boys were able to go out there and accomplish. So no way we jump Alabama in the fourth. Only way I see that happening is if we have a 59-0 blowout like we did Wisconsin when we got it the first time. But winning by 6 points, no, you're not jumping Alabama. Not going to happen.
What about the playoff system? Should it be expanded? Should we get to 8 teams, 16 teams? What do you think?
I mean, you can't satisfy everybody. Everybody was mad with the BCS. Now everybody, 9-14 is not enough. Then if we go 8, then 18 won't be enough. Then it's just going to continue to go. Listen, if you want to be in the top four, don't lose games. It's very simple. It's hard to do, but at the end of the day, everybody is in the driver's seat. Now, UCF, I get it. You guys came out of, you know, out of nowhere and had one great season, but don't tell me that you really thought that you were going to get in over Alabama. Like, let's stop playing around with this thing. Like that's not going to happen. Sorry. You weren't even ranked when the season started. Your schedule was weakest at best. Like, come on, it's just not going to happen, you know? So if they decide to go to 6 or 8 teams, I would be all for it. But at the end of the day, how are you going to break that down with these kids? I mean, they're already paying 13, 14 games, 15 games right now. So what are you asking to play, 16, 17 games? Like, at some point, somebody got to start getting paid out here with all this playing, huh?
Well, that I agree with. I certainly think that, you know, the college players should be getting some sort of compensation, particularly when they're putting jerseys out there with your name on the back of it. You should get a piece. That's something I just I can't understand.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a big business.
Jonathan, yeah, you've been involved in the media over the last several years. You've been an analyst for the NBC affiliate up there in Columbus, Ohio, recently graduated from the Ohio Media School. Congratulations on that. Talk about what you're doing now.
Thank you, man. I'm actually just launching my own production company up here. You know, after the NFL, I jumped into the music industry and had a record label down in Atlanta for about 8-9 years straight. Moved back up to Ohio about 2-3 years ago just to kind of, you know, diversify my portfolio. So now I'm really looking to get into, you know, producing documentaries. I have a couple sports reality shows that I've shot some sizzle reels for. So just really trying to get some of this content out here. And then eventually I'll get back into the music because that's definitely a passion of mine, you know, finding artists and creating artists and things of that nature. But right now, just launching the production company, man, going to start getting some content out here, starting with my personal documentary.
Well, Jonathan, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing, whether it's online or it's over social media?
Social media, man, you can hit me up at J Wells Media Group on Instagram, Jonathan Wells on Facebook, and I'm really, really active on LinkedIn, just under Jonathan Wells. Or if you want to, you know, hit me up about some business, if you're in a Cleveland area or anywhere you may be, it's jwellsmediagroup.com. You can always send me an email, and I'll have one of my people get back with you, and we can see what we can work out.
There you go. Jonathan, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back on the show. It's always a lot of fun having you as part of the show. I hope you'll come back soon and share more of your stories and insights with us.
I appreciate it, guys. You guys have a great night. Thank you.
You take care,
all right, take
sir.
Care, Jonathan. All the best to you
all
and
right.
your family. That is Jonathan Wells, former Ohio State and Houston Texans running back. And, Bob, wow, what a talented guy he was. And, you know, boy, he's got a lot going on. So kudos to him for all the great things that he's doing.
It's truly a success story, how you let it off, Chris, talking about his upbringing, his background, and for him to do what he did and get to the NFL and can have a very, very huge impact on anybody he crosses paths with now. And we'll talk more of him the next time we talk about his message to kids and all that, but doing some great things.
Yes, he is. All right, we're going to get to our next guest, Dominic Rhodes. We'll do that on the other side of these words from our friends over at Doubleback Winery.